So I guess my daughter said that I should talk on this, even though we didn't talk, on what is the plan for 2023 spiritually. And I guess we think alike, because my first question was 2022 a little bit rough? If it was, there are many reasons that we see things could be rough. It could be our health. It could be relationships. It could be finances. It could be a job. It could be our family. It could be that we have a problem with sin and that we have a problem with repeated sin. So the question is, when you have difficulties, how do you respond? Do you become depressed? Do you lose your faith? Were you not so nice to others? Did it stop you from moving forward? And are you expecting a better year in 2023? If yes, why? What can you do to see a turnaround? Well, in the parasha, for those of you who don't know what the parasha is, it's the weekly reading. We are reading in Genesis and verses 44:18 to 47:27. And we're reading all about Joseph. And he had every reason to feel bad. In Genesis 45:5, which is kind of towards the end, where he is, he's speaking to his brothers who have come to Egypt, and he's trying to explain who he is. And he says, so now don't be grieved. And of course, they were grieved because they did such awful things to him. And don't be angry in your own eyes that you sold me here, since it was for preserving life that God sent me here before you. So the first thing I would mention to you about 2023 is don't grieve. Don't grieve. There is no reason to grieve. If you know the Lord, you are to walk with him and do not grieve. If there is a problem, you repent of it, get rid of it, and move forward. And don't be angry. Anger is one of the things that separates you from God. Because have you ever noticed that when you're angry, it's hard to think about God? All we do is think about why we're angry. And it gets larger and larger, our anger. Be like Joseph. Do not grieve. Don't be angry about the past. You know, don't be like the brothers who allowed their sin to take up residence in their heart and in their mind. Because that's what sin does. It takes up residence, and it's hard to get out. But unrepentance and unforgiveness are two actions that cause stress and grieving and anger. So we have to be ready to repent at all times and forgive at all times. And just realize that God is in control. And for that reason, you can repent and forgive. And that's how you get washed clean. That's how you don't allow the enemy to win. That's how you don't allow anger to take up residence. So let's go from there to the next verse, Genesis 45:6. For there has been 2 years of famine in the land. There will be 5 more years, yet with no plowing or harvesting. So Joseph is explaining to his brothers what's going on. In verse 7, it says, but God sent me ahead of you to ensure a remnant in the land and to keep you alive for a great escape. So God always provides a way of escape. He always provides a way of escape. He always keeps a remnant He always keeps a remnant, even though everybody in the world seems to want to exterminate the Jews, whether it's World War II or the pogrom or other things. God keeps us alive somehow, some way, to be a testimony of who he is and his promises. And God sent Joseph ahead. So Joseph could have been angry with his brothers, but Joseph saw the big picture. But even prior to this, Joseph didn't have a problem with remembering the past. And he had lots of things to remember that weren't so good. But he knew that God had a plan for him. I think the dreams that he had when he was young just kind of was what he relied on. And his walk with the Lord, he knew that God was in control. So now he says in verse 8, it wasn't you. You didn't send me here, but God. And he made me as a father to Pharaoh, lord over his whole house and ruler over the entire land of Egypt. But that first line, you didn't send me here, but God. This is a very, very important principle that you and I have to learn. When somebody does something bad to you, it is not they who have done this, but it is the result of spiritual warfare. And we see, I believe that Joseph understood the spiritual warfare and he realized that God was going to turn what the enemy meant for bad, he was going to turn it to good. Now, I realize I'm using some New Covenant scriptures to talk about Joseph, but I really believe that Joseph was a tremendous example of the New Covenant, the Brit Chadashah. A tremendous example. And so this is one of the ways. He recognized that this was Hasatan. And so it wasn't about being angry at his brothers. It was about fulfilling God's plan. Joseph was focused. He wasn't focused on the wrong that was done to him. We must understand God's desire for us. God has a plan and a purpose. And what you and others see as bad, God can intend it for good. And we are to forget what lies behind, which we're going to look at in a minute from Philippians. Move forward to the onward call of Yeshua. And for that, we need to have faith and trust God. Trust God. But let's go over why I'm so impressed with Joseph. When you think of his life, there were a number of times, low points in his life. It started with his brothers. And think about this. Was there any time in these things that I'm about to mention where Joseph complained? Where he said the famous 21st century words, it's not fair. It's not fair. With a little, it's not fair. And somebody, of course, will say, well, life's not fair. So it starts out with the brothers hating him. All of them seem to hate him. Told his brothers about two dreams. Then not only did they hate him, but they were also jealous. Because in those dreams, it seemed as if what those dreams were explaining was that sometime in the future, they would all be bowing down to Joseph, which obviously happened. But we don't know that. This was 13 years prior to that. And so it starts out. And so not only did they hate him, but they acted on it. But besides that, even the father rebuked Joseph about what he said, even though he remembered what he said, and it sounded like he was saying, well, let's see if this comes to be. So the brothers throw Joseph in the pit. We don't see any commentary whatsoever on how Joseph reacted. None whatsoever. And then he gets sold into slavery, and then he gets resold into Potiphar's house and is a slave there, never complaining, never saying it's not fair. Then he becomes a success at Potiphar's house, handles all the books, all the money, everything. And we know what happens. Potiphar's wife wants to sleep with Joseph. And day after day, she bothers him about this. And what does Joseph say? It'd be a sin toward God. So he's not thinking about the consequences, though he also mentions that it would be wrong to do it to his master. But he also says it's a sin towards God. And it shows us that Joseph still had a relationship with the Lord. And then, so finally, he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. And so Potiphar had him thrown into prison, where again, he didn't complain. He didn't say, what's going on here? He just did what was best. And so we know that because he, again, was made in charge of all the prisoners. The baker and the chief cupbearer each had a dream. And in Genesis 40, verse 8, then Joseph said to them, don't interpretations belong to God? Please tell me. In other words, I can't really interpret your dream, but I know God can, and I have this relationship with God. So let's hear it. There were no words from Joseph about unfair or, you know, anything. He just focused on the Lord. And in Genesis 41, 16, even though he was forgotten by the chief cupbearer, was restored, but the baker was not restored after those dreams. And the baker said, the chief cupbearer said, I'll remember you. But he promptly forgot him. And 2 years later, we see that Pharaoh has some dreams. And so finally, the cupbearer remembers and he says, hey, try this Israelite guy in prison. And so in Genesis 41, 14, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, so they quickly fetched him from the pit. He shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. He wasn't really allowed to come as somebody who looked like he was just off the streets. I mean, he had to look good for Pharaoh. But again, Joseph didn't start out by saying, hey, this has really been unfair. No, he just focused on God. And when asked about interpreting dreams, Genesis 41, 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it's not within me. God will answer with shalom for Pharaoh. So again, acknowledging God. You know, last week we talked a little bit about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is Joseph. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he'll direct your path. Now, it took 13 years, but he did. So, from there on, Joseph had tremendous success after he answered Pharaoh's dreams. And so I'd like to just share with you a scripture that I feel as we go into this new year, and I hope you're getting the concept of what I'm saying about this new year. God is asking us to be a certain type of people, and we're to focus on him. We're not to get angry with other people. We're not to, You know, we are to focus on God. I understand, easier said than done. I get that. And some people can really irritate you. I get that. But our goal, think of what the goal is. The goal is to focus on God. And here's the example, even though Joseph obviously did not know the Brit Hadashah, in fact, he didn't even know the Hebrew scriptures, he was in the beginning, right? Pretty much. So, but he knew enough about God to be an example of Philippians 2 and 3. And so we're going to look at that for a few moments. In verse 12 of Philippians 2, therefore, my loved ones, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, even though you're the same at home when the doors are closed and nobody is looking as when you're in front of me, which is a pretty big compliment, I'd say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, be careful about what you're doing. Really, be concerned that you're doing the right things. And then it says, for the one working in you is God, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So you just have to trust that. That God is working for good and for his pleasure. Now, this means that when things are a struggle, we can't just focus on the struggle. We have to focus and know that God has something good. And the problem is, when we focus on the struggle, we struggle more. And we take longer to get to where God wants us to be. So this is a key thing for 2023, not to focus on the struggle, but to focus on God. Okay, remembering he's the master, we're the slave, right? Verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing. You know, God has a real problem with grumblers. If you remember all through Exodus, where the people of Israel grumbled against Moses. And here it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, you notice that I have it in a different color. And the reason is because as we look through the rest of these couple verses, I want you to go back to grumbling and arguing. First of all, so that you're not to be blameless and innocent. So that means to me that if you don't want to be blameless and innocent, if you do want to be blameless and innocent, you don't want to be grumbling or arguing. And then it says, children of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, well, we know that, among them you shine as lights in the world. If you want to shine as a light in the world, then do not grumble or argue. How many grumble about politics? Don't raise your hand. Sorry, I mean, I think this pertains to even politics. It's just a thought. Holding fast to the word of life, the word of God, so that I may boast in the day of Messiah that I did not run or labor in vain. We have to continue to look at Scripture, because Scripture is our instruction book. It's going to show us the way. So, in verse 17, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. So here Paul is saying that he's being poured out upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, of the other's faith. But the fact that he's being poured out, he's going to rejoice. The same way that he's expecting that you would rejoice and share your joy with him. That's basically what the scripture is saying. We are to share joy with one another. That is one of the things that you should think about for 2023. That should be a goal. I want to share joy with the people in my life. And I want them to share it with me, but if they don't, I'll still share it with them. Philippians 3:1, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. One of my favorite little lines is this next part. To keep writing the same thing to you is not troublesome for me, but for you, it is a safeguard. Hey, I don't have a problem repeating this. You need it. It's a safeguard. It's going to guard you from being tempted by Hasatan. And so I'm going to repeat this a few times. And I don't want you to say, oh, there you go. There's Weiler again repeating this. I want you to say, thank you for that safeguard. Because we are to rejoice. And notice how many times and in such different places God says in his word to rejoice. Now, he wouldn't tell you to do it if you couldn't do it. But he will tell you to do it even though it's hard. But if it's your goal, if it's something that you say, this is a commandment. God is saying by his commandment, I want you to rejoice. The question is, what are you going to do? It's very quiet in here. I don't know. Verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, these I have considered as loss for the sake of Messiah. More than that, I consider all things to be loss in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Okay, now he's really getting difficult. How many of you consider everything a loss compared to your knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah? Don't raise your hands. Because we'll call you out as liars, and we'd hate for you to sin. I mean, this is such difficult stuff. You know, when you read scripture, you go by it quickly, hoping that you don't have to think about it. Certainly hoping that you don't have to apply it. Because as simple as the words are and as easy it is to understand, this is really tough. Very tough. And so the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord, is greater than anything else in my life. I'd like to say that's me, but I'm not sure it is. But I can make it a goal. I can make it a goal to be better at this so that when somebody irks me, that I can remember that the greatest thing in my life is the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah. And so I release the irkness. Is that a word? Irkness? It is now. Thank you. I release that irkness because I have something greater that God has asked me to focus on. So these themes keep coming up. There's trust in the Lord. there's rejoice in the Lord. I mean, those are two themes that are just all over the place. In verse 10, you know, you would say, okay, this Philippians 2:3 is really heavy enough. Are we finished? And the answer is no. Verse 10, my aim is to know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay, so the power of his resurrection. If you know him and the power of his resurrection, little things that people do to you are not going to bother you. All of this is going back to the arguing and the anger, because we're not going to be involved in that, because we are focusing on the power of his resurrection. And what is more powerful than that? And the sharing of his sufferings. Well, when people are mean to you, then at a very small level, you are sharing in his sufferings, because we know, as an example, that one of his disciples turned him in. Somebody he was teaching for 3 years turned him into the authorities. And then because of that, he ends up on a cross. Do you see how God is working this for good? Because had he not been on that cross, had he not been double-crossed by Judah, had his disciples not abandoned him, we would not have our sins forgiven. My purpose is to know him. My purpose is to know the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings. So it's okay. I'm sharing in what Messiah did or had. My purpose is to become like him in his death. How many times have you thought about that? And even though Paul's message to us is lofty, he's humble, obviously. Then he tells us, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Honestly, verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or that this is perfected. Hey, I'm teaching, but I'm not a great example of this. That basically is what he's saying. But I press on. I can relate to him. But I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining, because it's a goal, straining what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. It's my goal. It's my goal. All of this is a goal for 2023. This is who I want to be. This is what a disciple is. So how do I move forward? So I focus on Yeshua. Number one, you've got to forget what's behind. If you're waiting for somebody to apologize to you, you might be waiting a long time. And let me tell you, God wants you to get rid of it yesterday. Today's late. Yesterday. The bar is set so high for you and me, so high, that after reading Scripture, I give you the license to say those famous words. You remember what they are? It's not fair. Because God's asking you to do things that is not fair. He's actually asking you to do things that are not fair. He says, forget what's behind. He didn't ask whether they apologized or not. He just says, forget. Strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. So we're straining forward. And then God gets a little condescending with us. Yep, he does. In verse 15, he says, therefore, let all who are mature. In other words, if you want to be considered mature, follow what I've just said. If not, it's up to you. You can be immature. How many want to be immature believers? Okay. And that isn't at all enough because, and if you have a different attitude in anything, like you want to be an immature believer, this also God will reveal to you. In other words, hey, maybe it's not your time to be mature yet, but God's going to reveal it to you. There'll be a time where God will show you real maturity. Nevertheless, let us live up to the same standard we have attained. So as we enter into 2023, what's God's plan and purpose for you? To get closer to the Lord each day by doing the things that Scripture says to do. You know, being in the Messianic movement, when you meet somebody who is not in the Messianic movement, what is the first thing they ask you? What? Thank you. Are you under the law? First thing. Because they're trying to figure out if you're really saved. But they're asking you, because if you're under the law, you couldn't be saved, right? And when they ask me that, I say, yes. Yeah. Yeshua said to love God, love your neighbor, and tell people. And sounds like law to me. It's a commandment. I'm trying to follow it. Aren't you under the law? Now, I'm being a little cutesy with them. But the point is true. That we are under a law. We're under the law of Yeshua, who told us what the most important commandments are. And now he uses most of Scripture to explain what those how those commandments look. When you are living this way, it looks this way. So don't say that you are loving your neighbor and you just got angry at them. Because God already told us in Philippians 2, don't get angry. And there are other places about anger. If God said, you know, that we are to focus on rejoicing, that's a commandment. How can you say you're not under the law? Well, obviously, they're talking about the Hebrew Scriptures law. So play with them a little. Because we are under the law. We are under the law of Yeshua, who blessed us with grace and mercy and allows us that even though we don't keep the law as we should, he forgives us. Just like we forgive all the people in our lives who have hurt us, right? Because that's a commandment. We know it in the Lord's Prayer. We know it lots of places. Forgive. It's a commandment. It's law. So, 2023, we should all try and follow the law of Yeshua. And those laws are way harder than the laws in the Hebrew scriptures. Way harder. And Yeshua is way more specific as well as to what those laws look like. So, a review. Trust in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, acknowledge God in everything. No grumbling, arguing, complaining. If you don't like my message, don't tell anybody. We are to know him. We're to know the power of his resurrection, to share of his sufferings, and to become like him in his death. So are you in a good place with God to start this year off correctly? Is your prayer time good? Is your reading scripture good? Is your studying good? Are you meditating on God's word? Are you trying to apply God's word? Are you in a good place with your family? Are you in a good place in the congregation? Are you in a good place with friends? Are you in a good place with your neighbors? Are you in a good place with coworkers? Will you be in a good place with everybody you meet? Have you met everybody in the sanctuary this evening? Because that's a law as well. Well, it's sort of my law with a little... In this new year, God wants us to really look at ourselves and be transparent and honest so that we would be able to say Romans 8, starting with verse 37. Why don't you read it with me? But in all these things, thank you. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. If you believe that, you will be able to follow Yeshua and make goals that seem impossible for our behavior for 2023, but he will give us not only the opportunity, but he will give us the power with the strength of his spirit to achieve a lot of our goals. But we need to make them as goals. Some people here or on Facebook Live, maybe has never accepted Yeshua as their Messiah, or some people who have accepted Yeshua and just kind of put him to the side. Let's start 2023 correctly by putting him right back in our hearts where he belongs. So we would say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. I would say, Yeshua, come into my life and make me clean. And I would say, I dedicate my life to you, Lord. Say those three things, and I believe God will do a miraculous thing in your life. If this is your heart, one of the problems with Yeshua's commandments that we have to keep is that he's not satisfied if we do them unless we do them with our heart. It has to be out of love that we do things. So even this has to be because we want to receive the love of God. And so if you can say this evening, whether you're here or on Facebook Live, let us know. We'd like to give you a free gift to help you on your journey with the Lord. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Boy, this next year is coming up. Just really a little more than a day from now. And it's 2023. And Lord, we're asking, Father, that you do amazing things in this year. Lord, I pray that our faith will be so strong. Our trust in the Lord will be so strong. I pray that we will be able to move mountains because of our faith and our belief. Mountains we will be able to move. We'll see people healed because we've prayed for them. We'll see people come to know you, Lord, because you want them to have salvation. Lord, let 2023 be a year of harvest. Lord, we've prepared, we've put the seeds in the ground, we've tried to make the soil good. Now we just need you, Lord, to make the flower bloom, make the seeds bloom. And let us see people just blossom within you. Lord, make 2023 a year to remember because of all the great and mighty things that you have done. And I pray that we will not forget for one second to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.